as we're doing this shtick every week, we should just need to kind of start up and just talk. And I'm like tweeting at the same time.
We're doing it live. I'll retweet you. I mean, I feel like people should not be on Twitter anymore. I mean, you saw what happened with Don Lemon, right?
No, what happened?
Oh, so Elon Musk hires a CNN reporter to do a... Well, he doesn't hire him, but he, like, greenlights a show because Twitter's big pivot. Twitter's going to pivot to video. Isn't that the most amazing thing? No one's ever done video on a social media site before. So anyway, they greenlight the show, and Don Lemon is like, okay, well, let's set up the first interview for my new news show on streaming media, on social media.
Oh, okay, so let's interview the show to be like an
Elon Musk.
Exclusive, I misunderstood. I felt like it was an interview with him or something, but yeah, okay.
Well, but that's just it. So Don Lemon sets up this interview with Elon Musk, hits him right out of the gate with, well, what do you think about this proliferation of hate speech? And Elon's like, I don't have to answer any of your questions. I only did this because you said you wanted your first interview to be me. And and then he texts Don Lemon after that saying, your show's canceled. So Twitter is absolutely a serious place for serious people to share good information and to hang out.
Talking about crash and burn, man. Okay. Okay. Okay.
It's like,
sorry,
it could not have been... A worse look for
this week. Yeah, I had other
billionaire man baby. You know, this big alpha male business guy who can't handle one question. And it's awesome. You should definitely check out the video on it.
Okay, okay. If I can spell Xiaomi right now, I'll be sorry. I'm trying to put out this tweet. Jesus.
Well, we got some folks already here in the chat. Hey, everybody, welcome to a tech podcast. I am whooped. I'm Juan Bagnell. This is my buddy TK Bay. We talk about tech, and you've stumbled into a live stream where we share some of our experiences with the tech that we've been covering this week. And I'm seeing Ron, I'm seeing Mind Your Helm, Bionic Scoop, Barry Johnson, Michael Peppertech. You do not want to mess around with this stuff. Michael says, had a first today recall for my air fryer, had to cut the cord and send in pics. We'll get a Best Buy gift card in 2 to 3 weeks. That, and again, for how, you know, how air fryers work, a lot of electricity and a lot of heat. Yeah, yeah, I wouldn't mess around with that. I would absolutely get rid of that post haste.
Yeah, no, get that replaced. But we use ours quite a bit, not as much as I thought, but we do use it quite a bit instead of traditional, oil frying or anything like that. And typically it does pretty well, but it's just. They're a lot to clean. Let's just say that.
You know, I've kind of gotten lazy because we've got an air fryer and an air fryer attachment for our Instant Pot. And anymore, I'll set up a rack and do like a broil in the main oven. Okay. It's kind of the same. It's a little bit more baking than air frying, but I'm just lazy. It's so cleaning out an appliance like a little mini grill or an Instant Pot is like, oh, there's so much little detail work that you've got to get.
It's the detail. Yeah, it's
I'm just going to run the oven.
It's a bigger
I made a soup. I was like, this would have gone so much faster in the Instant Pot, but I could just throw all this stuff into a pot on the stove. It'll just take a little longer. Yeah.
It's okay. What you need to keep your stove for is some really good ramen with this really cold weather that we've been dealing with. Like really cold, high winds, 67-mile-an-hour winds.
Did you guys lose power? Because we have some friends in our old neighborhood who are like, yeah, we've just been blacked out for 6 hours.
So as I was driving into work today, I heard about the general area where you were, and I was like, I wonder if Juan was affected by that. Like, I know you're further out, so I wasn't sure, but not directly. Luckily, none of my family members here or anybody that I know was impacted.
That's good.
Typically, though, that's what Edison would do. They would, in anticipation of concerns and
shut
issues,
stuff down.
They would shut power off. And it's a very weird, like, it's better to keep it off in case, God forbid, it gets hit by wind, it falls down, wildfires. It is bad weather. It's basically low humidity, high wind. Even if it's cold, it could still generate some type of a fire issue for us. So, no, luckily nothing. And
I'm honestly kind of surprised because the winds were crazy. I mean, we had palm trees like going sideways.
Yeah.
And so usually we get that. We have an older neighborhood with crazy old electrical grid cabling and stuff. And we were flickering all morning. Like, it could brown out on us at any time.
Yep.
But instead of being proactive and shutting power down, they were just like, well, I guess it's fine. Just go ahead and keep going. But my friends who did lose power have purchased a couple of my review batteries off of me.
Nice.
And so they had two crate batteries and two old RAV powers, the RAV powers that had the AC plug on them. Mm-hmm. And they were like, well, it sucks. We've lost power. But we're keeping the fridge running, and all of the kids are still playing with their gadgets because of all the batteries we bought off of
you. They had enough power to be able to keep the internet going and the fridge.
They still had internet. They still had gaming. It was hilarious. I mean, it was freaky, but it was hilarious.
Yeah, I know. The last time we had this was during one of the, like, what was it, the heavy rain systems that went through us? We lost power a couple of times. And we did. I did. I brought out the anchor and I connected. But we probably I didn't connect. I'll say this. I didn't connect the internet. I purposely left the internet off. I felt like, you know what? Let's just disconnect. And that was it was kind of interesting.
Unplug.
Okay, so look, this is a generational thing. I feel like the younger generation, and I'm not trying to talk like, you know, 20, 10 years or so, like younger, but I'm talking like the younger ones, like my son's age, even maybe early 20s, are in a situation where they've always been connected. They grew up with the internet. That's their entertainment. That's their connection to understanding how to do things. And we grew up in a time where we actually had blackouts or nothing to do. Like, there was just sitting there and like kicking it and hanging out and kind of thing. So for me, I like the quiet. Omar just doesn't deal with that well. Like, I think, remember that night, the moment the power went out, it was like 8 something. He's like, okay, well, I'm going to go to sleep now. I'm like, wait a minute. You're the guy who wants to stay up till 10 o'clock. He's like, yeah, but there's no internet. And I'm like, is that how it is? You shut off the internet, the kid turns off, the battery.
Well,
push the button. That's it. That's how you reset.
Have you tried reading a book? That's what used to keep me up late at night.
That kept you up. Oh, that used to put me like, that was my sleeping pill.
Wow. When I was a little kid, like I would fight sleep and, I'd be like,
you feel like you're missing out, right? Like, you know, I'm just back from school. I spent my entire day doing schoolwork. I come back, I'm doing homework. I'm not getting enough time to enjoy the day. So you're always going for the more, right? As you get older, where there's so much going on, you're exhausted by the end of the day. And you're just like, I just want to turn off the light. Or actually, I just want some peace and quiet. I wake up early in the morning just to get the peace and quiet. That's my me time. It is absolutely quiet time. So it's been interesting, but
I don't wake up early, but I appreciate what you're saying in that it's like, oh, there's so much calamity happening. And I only have a wife and a daughter, and there's so much action all the time. That's kind of inescapable. But yeah, no, I've been kind of kicking it and listening to some new albums that have dropped. And I gotta say, I don't know what this woman, like, if she signed a deal with the devil or if she's just incredibly on the pulse, but the new Norah Jones is really good 70s vibe. It's
Norah Jones. Okay.
Really good. You know, like, Norah Jones to me is like, in the back of my brain, is this woman that you see selling CDs on like the cash register at a Starbucks. It's like Starbucks soft.
I would soft not be surprised R&B. If at one point she was at the Starbucks counter.
Literally, playing an acoustic guitar and like selling CDs out of her guitar case. Every single album since that first, like, you know, where she was on Sesame Street, you know, anyway, this new album is really good. And so I like trotted out good headphones. I had my Cineaptics on. I'm just kind of jamming with it. Like, you know, I plugged in like one of the really nice DACs just to power everything, turned off the lights, the wind's howling outside, but I've got everything shut down. And I'm just like a million miles away listening to Norah Jones. And it was lovely. Exactly what I needed on a crazy, windy, blustery day. So
I'm glad.
I would highly recommend it. I've already forgotten the name of the album. So it's Visions. It popped up on Kobuz. It's just front page on Copa, so I just pushed play. I wasn't even like really looking with my eyes at anything. But I gave it a shot, and I went through the entire album, and it was great. So I'd definitely give it a shot.
Yeah, definitely. I'm home tomorrow, so I'll get a chance to listen to a little bit more music. It's I find it interesting. Like in the office now, I end up spending most of my time with headphones on. Mm-hmm. Not that I don't want to listen to people. I got so used to listening to music, my own music, and you know, EDM in the office is just not. I guess not the vibe for everybody. Some people like it, some people don't. I can't please everybody, but yeah, no. So I typically like to play just general like music EDM when I'm working, especially when I'm shooting B-roll and stuff. Most of my B-roll within the last 3 or 4 weeks now have been basically music, so that when I'm editing videos and I'm going through my B-roll, I'm getting to listen to the music again. I'm like, hey, I get the double benefit out of it. I have a couple of those Soundcore speakers, not the outdoor style that you got. I think got the indoor style with the surround.
Yeah, you had the Motion, right?
The S600, yeah.
The S600, yeah, right.
Yeah, the 6 and 500. Both great speakers, great sound, great nice. Just overall. I mean, in my room is not.
I mean, I have the Boom 2, and it's objectively better. So
no, absolutely.
I win.
I have the older version of yours, the old booms, the bigger style.
Yeah, I have the Motion Boom and the Motion Boom Plus, and I have those too. But I'm better than you because I have the Boom 2. Hold on, my door just popped open, and I don't want to wake up Lex because my office is right by her. So I'm still talking to you, but I'm gonna.
The wind has been doing that to us quite a bit. The pressure, the outside-inside pressure of the house, if the door is not closed all the way.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
We've had a few doors open up a little bit, almost like it's a haunted place. But yeah, no.
I try not to make that joke because I feel like my daughter will actually take me seriously. But I was like, oh, it must be the ghost. And you're like,
No, not at that age. Yeah, dude, it took us so long for Omar not to be scared of just the dark, like just walking around the house when it's darker. Like as if the boogeyman is running. So that
you were saying like you recorded your B-roll and you were listening to EDM. Wow, it was like for a microphone project a while back, and it was for a video that was going to be on someone else's channel. But I was doing the full edit and I was kind of doing some voiceover for it. And they're like, "Hey, we love all this. We just want to do like a little mini cut down for Facebook. Can you send us the raw video clips? We'll cut up a separate video off here." And I was like, I will do this, but I was listening to some gory, horrific horror films while I was shooting this B-roll. So you are going to hear terrible, terrible things in the background of these video clips. I just need you to know.
Just so you know.
But I wasn't doing anything bad while I was shooting
my
the
hands
B-roll.
Were on camera. You could see my hands on camera, just so you know.
Right.
There is proof.
It's like what you have expect, like, you know, it's like a microphone doing like one of those sweeping, like panning shots, and then there's a terrible thing in the background. Oh no. But I hadn't thought about that in a while. Just like I've been a little bit more careful on either wearing headphones or listening to when I shoot my B-roll.
If Anya and Omar are home and he's doing homework and stuff, obviously I do put on headphones. It's still kind of nice to set the mood. It's like, for me, it's just the work, right? It's just the work that needs to get done. And I find that music helps me focus a little bit more on what I need to do by removing the external distractions. It's almost like it's not like white noise, but essentially it's kind of like a tunneling experience where I feel less...
See, EDM wakes me up too much, so I've got to find the cozy girl doing her homework lo-fi.
So EDM for me is very chilling. There is heart style, then there's trance, there's psych trance, there's boa trance. There are some different levels.
I am aware of all the different flavors. Even trance is enough to kind of light me up. If I can't go to like the completely stripped... It's not even music as much as it is like ambient sound that happens to have some kind of rhythm to it, that kind of style of lo-fi. And I had a playlist for a while that someone else had cultivated on Qobuz, and they started adding a whole bunch of tracks that had lyrics. And I was like, no, that completely defeats the purpose of me zoning out. So I would have to cut like songs out. So anyway, it's been a thing.
It's been a thing. Well, I mean, this week has been a thing as well. We've had quite a few things kind of going on. I will say that Monday was my Christmas because a package showed up at my door that I was waiting for it before MWC. I was waiting before the launch event.
Yes. Go on.
And it has been a very fun couple of days. I mean, the sad part is I didn't have enough time to be able to do a little bit more of a deep dive, but I was happy the fact that A, the phone showed up. B, the phone showed up with the camera kit.
You jerk.
It came up with the actual kit and it is exactly as I expected it. And lo and behold, I got the email during the day on Monday telling me, hey, you have a package coming in today. I'm like, okay, I didn't know it was coming. No, I mean, it's like,
cool.
Don't get me wrong. I'm very happy that it did, but I'm also happy with the fact that they sent me this guy. Hold on, Ken.
Oh.
Sony, come on, Sony.
Yeah, your Sony's not going to focus on a Xiaomi.
Whoa, hold on a second. Sony
doesn't I'm telling you, man, it's that Goku behind you. Sony only wants to recognize the anime because look, it's not even.
Oh, yeah,
you're right. It's catching those eyes, man.
Nope, not happening. Okay, I'll turn on my. I got to turn on the control app, otherwise it just doesn't work. But you know, you're right. It always likes to focus on him. Like he's the guy. He's the main guy in the show.
He's the guy.
I'm just riding the coattails, basically. So here, let's do this correctly. Right there.
Ooh, fancy.
The second generation vegan leather, super thin, super bump on the back. Absolutely super bump. I'll say that right now.
Mega.
Sneakers. Well, because they decided to change the... So we both have the 13 Ultra, and the 13 Ultras have more of a gradual bump that goes up to the camera section in the back, which kind of minimize the bump or the optics for the camera. So
this one
visually,
they kept.
Yeah, this one they're like, nah, we don't need to bother with that bump. We know if you're buying this phone and if you see somebody that makes a video about this saying, like, hey, man, this camera bump is humongous. I'm like, dude, you're buying it for the camera bump. You are not buying this because it's the best designed. I mean, it is a really good design, but it's just like, don't knock the product that you're buying specifically for that. But it looks nicer. I like the grip as well because the grip is now USB-C. It's no longer Bluetooth, which means the moment you plug it in, it's there. You don't have to push to kind of connect. And it just runs the way you expected, all the stuff that you want. And we also have a release button. That is crazy.
Wow.
I can release. Luckily, also, all of the 77mm threads that we had for the Xiaomi 13 Ultra work on this one as well.
Oh, they kept the same ring. That's great.
Same ring, except they did not include a cover. And that was my only bummer about the... Because, you know, like I like the fact that I always like to cover it. I like if I'm not using it, I cover the camera. It's protected. I don't
Although,
have to worry about it.
I got to say, like, I gave up on the cover because I went to a UV filter.
Yes.
Which so the UV filter will get in the way of that rear microphone, but Xiaomi's audio recording is kind of pants anyway. So to protect all those, I for a while there. Now, where is my 13? Now I've got the... individual filter thread.
Oh,
so you've got individual, so you can screw lenses directly into the back plate or go with the like a UV or an ND filter across the entire rear. So I'm hoping that stuff like this will. Oh yeah,
wait, where'd you get the? Is that an Amazon thing or did you get it from?
I got it off of AliExpress.
Yeah. Okay, I gotta look for it because so they said there's a cover for this one that's different, that's more close to it. But I'd love to get one that's threaded the way yours is because I feel like so with the circular polarizer when I'm trying to use it, it depends on the lens, on not all lenses will work on. The main sensor works on the 1-inch sensor, but anytime I go to the ultra wide or the telephoto, because they're sitting closer, I guess, to a certain part of the ring, as I'm circulating it, it's just getting more of the artifact of color changing. It doesn't work as well. I feel like I just need to live with the main sensor when I'm using like any kind of filters because I bought one of those again. Based on your recommendation back with the 13 Ultra. So I use the same.
Yeah.
No, like I'm happy that it works. It made it so much easier for me not to have to kind of go buy a whole new set of filters and so on. But I haven't had a chance again. I honestly got it on Monday. Today I know it was Wednesday, but like I mean, today is Thursday. See, again, I keep thinking it's Wednesday. It's Thursday. So yeah, basically just wanted to, I kind of scrammed together, put together an unboxing and a quick comparison, physical comparison to the 13 Ultra, and just to show some of the main differences. And actually,
nice.
Some of the nice options that they put in there, especially that aperture on the back. I like the fact that they dropped it a little bit. We got now a bigger aperture at f1.67 or 6.3, and it is truly variable. It's an automatic variable aperture that adjusts. And that was what they originally told us about the 13 Ultra, which later on turned out to be two stops. But yeah, long story short, very happy with that and looking forward to spending, hopefully this weekend, since we're going to have some nice weather finally.
We finally get, I was finally able to finish up a Vivo video, just like, oh, look, sunshine. Hey, look at that.
We're going to hit,
it's windy.
A little bit of warmth actually on Monday, by from what I understand. We're going to hit the 80s. It's going to be March and 80s. Oh, I don't know.
This is what's driving. This is one of the reasons why I sound so rough, is going from cold, wet and rainy to windy to hot to rainy to windy. Next week, we're going to get blasted. Like, man,
there's also a lot of
physiology struggles to keep
particles
pace
in the air right now. So anybody with allergy concerns, if you're not. Like, there's a haze across most of L.A., at least most of San Fernando when I was driving.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you could see the dust that's in the air, and you're like, crap. This is not fog. This is dust. So, yeah. Thanks to Xiaomi for sending it out. I'm happy. I just want to – well, obviously, my full review is already done, but I'm going to wait a week to release it. I just don't want to tease people with it. But between you and me –
you've already had it way too long to not have a full in-depth review with all the comparisons and why the iPhone is the
best. Between my hands-on back in MWC and the days before MWC and now, and the whole waiting period, obviously, I've made many opinions. I will say, though, the one thing that I noticed that I think it does need a software update for, at least just displaying the right bands on the display. Like, it connects to 5G, and I run a speed test on with T-Mobile here, and it connects to a 5G band, but the phone shows LTE on the top right. I feel like the tagging isn't done correctly or something. Like, it definitely needs at least like a day one update.
And also, I also wouldn't be too surprised if, like, in other regions of the world, what we consider 5G is just like a faux 5G, an LTE plus communication.
It could easily
standard.
Be it's, in that. Yeah. Yeah. No. To me, what it was doing, it was giving me Nothing Phone 2A vibes a little bit. Like, the 2A did the same thing. 2A says it had 5G, but then it was locking in, or when I was running the 5 speed test, it kept locking in as LTE. So it's more, I think, optimizations for the area where it's supposed to come out. Again, when you get devices pre-release, for the 14 Ultra, I think the 19th is the release date. If I'm not mistaken, everybody was telling me that they're going to start getting them on the 19th next week. So I'm thinking by next Tuesday or whenever the 19th is, there should be an update that gets released. And I feel like a lot of that cleanup will kind of get out. The Chinese version is a point number ahead of us. So possibly that could be part of what gets us in line with everybody else. But it's nice. It's nice to see global ROM support for QuickShare, all the stuff that I normally expect. I wish there was eSIM, but that's something, unfortunately, that's not in there. But otherwise, it's a pretty substantial device, and I like the configuration right now. I just need to spend a little bit more time with the cameras, a lot of new modes. 4K120 is really nice, having that just straight in the camera, not have to deep dive into a menu of submenu of another menu.
So good.
And then shake the hand
and
of the
like.
Guy.
Yeah. Right. And it's like, oh, you just install this other thing and then you get this plugin and you can. No. You just go directly to
exactly
the thing that you want, and then it's better.
Just say 4K, 24, 30, 60, 120. That's how it should be.
Done.
Yeah. And then, if you want HDR, it's stuck to 4K 30, but I understand. And then there's their cinema modes that they have, shooting and log. I'll say their portrait master mode has been exquisite. Especially with Botanical.
Nice.
It's been really, really nice. I've been able to take a few shots in there. Kind of teased everybody this morning. I was like, which phone did these cameras take? And of course, badly, I tagged Xiaomi in the post. So Jermaine called me on that. I'll say thank you, Jermaine, for for reading the subtweet there, or the sublines. It looks like it's a good option. Good. I'll say this, it's a good start. And I'm glad I'm starting the show.
The Ultra is a good start.
No, it's a good start. My experience with it so far has been a good start.
I know. I know. I'm just teasing you.
And I just realized that there's a UK warning on the side of this thing for the camera thing. But the one thing, though, I need to figure out what I'm going to do is I may end up not using Nova as I usually use with most of my devices, because
it's not with HyperOS right now. You can't.
No. Well, even UI. They don't let you use gestures. It's just mucks like the whole. I feel like I'm taking a step back. I've gone gestures for so long that using buttons for me seems like a weird. You know what I mean? Like I'm taking a step back in time. So every time I'm trying to use the phone, I'm like swiping away. I'm like, nope, this is not working. Because my thing is, I want to move in. I want to switch over to the phone. I want to, you know, this is going to be my daily driver. It's the phone that I wanted for quite some time. I did that with the Vivo X100 Pro. I loved it, and I want to see how this kind of runs with them. Vivo was a little bit more open to gestures off secondary launchers, but unfortunately, Xiaomi still has that. Unfortunately, that feature only locked to their launcher, to their native launcher. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Poco has not updated it yet. So I'm waiting for Poco to have a better, because you can always swap the Poco launcher. And I feel like Poco has a little bit more customizations. Similar, but you know.
Yeah.
Something I've been testing. Yeah. No, for sure. So, but other than that, pretty good. Love the white leather. And they kept a clear case this time in the box, as opposed to what we got with the 14, where it was like a grayish, you know, hides the phone. This one you get to enjoy the color of the phone. So,
oh no, they're definitely making a split play. Like, I mean, the 14's nice, but this is the Ultra.
I'll say, seriously.
No, they're TK. That's what I said. They're doing that. Mm-hmm. The gray case with the 14 is just like a plain black gray case.
Yeah.
The Ultra shows off that it's an Ultra. So you don't need to defend them. We know what they're doing.
Oh, I'm not defending them. I was just going to say that the 14 actually has some pretty good cameras on it. Of all,
no, you past, were just talking about the case.
No, I know.
I was replying to you talking about the case, and now you're shifting. Oh, you mentioned Xiaomi 14. Let me tell you about the cameras on the Xiaomi 14. No, TK, said the case. It's like that's what we were talking about.
That is the case. The case is the case when the situation is where it is. But that was the other thing actually. Also on the 14. The backing on the case on the outside doesn't match the backing of the phone, like the way we had it on the 13 Ultra. So where we have that nice little leather material kind of permeating on the back that kind of just feels like the 14. So because they had a green version of this, and that really looked nice. On this one, it's more of like a woven material. It still has somewhat of a leather feel to it, but it feels more of a like a I don't know why. It's like a different material. It's like it's not the same. But it's black on the side, and when you remove, of course, the camera, the camera grip, you get to see. So I just locked it myself in here. You get to see the white color of the Xiaomi 14. So here, let's see if we can get that. So you can see the white color on it. So then you know you have the white version of the phone, because otherwise it hides it so well, like you have no idea which phone it is. Oops, I just realized it's not in all the way, and now it is. But yeah. Hopefully maybe next week I'll have a little bit more focus. Most people are focusing on how does it compare to the X100 Pro. I think it's a little bit early. The X100 Pro is really good. Like, it's hard to say that this is a bad device, but the fact that we have them both globally available right now, it makes sense for it to be a competition between the two, like people deciding.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of people already comment to say they've already bought the X100 Pro and they're wondering if this is better. It's going to come down to a specific scenarios, I think, at some point, because of the control of the amount of light. You have more control with the Xiaomi as opposed to what you have with Vivo. But then again, Vivo is just so easy to use out of the box. It's hard to realize that I've been out of focus for the last 3 minutes and nobody said anything. But thank you. Hi.
I just wanted to see if you'd notice. Your microphone was looking so crisp.
It was. No. Hey, man, this is exactly how we do the job here, because like Rode was in. Oh, I can't even get it. Nope, it doesn't want to do it anymore. But yeah, no, that's Sony for you. Like, you're embarrassing me, Sony. You're embarrassing me.
Maybe it's like we just got to switch over and do our shows from like Vivos and Xiaomi's if they can't get the autofocus right.
I would love to be able to do a little bit more. I mean, I saw your video that you posted, I think, was it last week or the week before, when you were talking about the microphones and the audio recording and so on.
Yeah.
I think if I'm not mistaken, I think the Xiaomi 13 Ultra had a 2-microphone array, right? It was a dual microphone setup, or is it a triple?
Yeah. But that video isn't on any of the phone mics. The problem with Xiaomi is audio processing. I didn't explain that very well in the video because I got a lot of comments about it. But it was like, I did not change the microphone. The microphone is the same for every single setup. And you can kind of hear it. There are two clips on the Vivo where the safety track that was recorded by the microphone turned the Vivo video into a left channel only mono. Because if you do safety track off of a portable mic, it messes with phones. So literally just unplugging the receiver from one phone and plugging it into the other, man, like, it drives me nuts how Xiaomi handles the noise reduction and automatic gain on their cameras. So, like, they're some of my absolute favorite optics and lenses and sensors, but I can't use them
to record
unto themselves, because the second you listen to that video, it's like, this sounds like garbage. And it's the same problem I had switching from the LG V50 to the LG V60.
Oh, that, yeah.
The V50 is completely hands off. It is just a gorgeous, natural audio recording.
We live streamed from your V50.
Oh, yeah.
Back at the, what's it called?
So it's funny. Yeah. Like, I've still trotted out the V50 on a handful of videos when I'm outside shooting, because, like, I know exactly what it's going to do with a new mic or with like a new wireless system or any kind of DAC amp that you might want to plug into it. The V50 is still not in regular rotation, but it's still an accessible tool. So in comparing the Vivo against the Xiaomi right now, if I take one device out in the field and I want to be able to create a video with that device, it might not be a Xiaomi. It, like, the Xiaomi is what I take out if I need the best B-roll camera, mm-hmm. the best collection of lenses and really consistent optics and stuff like that. And it's a phenomenal photography platform, but I can't get to that last bit. I can't shoot the A-roll from a Xiaomi, and especially because I would do this if, like in LumaFusion, if we had the ability to resync audio.
Okay.
Because you can only get down to a tenth. So if I pulled the audio off of a wireless mic and I recorded it as like a safety, I can't sync it in LumaFusion perfectly.
There's no auto sync, and you're right. Yeah.
It's not even that there's no auto sync. It's like I literally can't move it finely enough. Mm-hmm. To line up with another video track so that I can replace the audio that the Xiaomi recorded, which is not good, and then end up with the finished project. So it's like all of those little things just kind of keep stacking on, like, what really does become the more useful platform. I seriously doubt that's the concern of anyone who's doing, like, a Vivo X100 versus Xiaomi 14 Ultra video right now. But I think it's interesting to see that Vivo has delivered a very similar platform to what the Xiaomi 12S Ultra was.
Okay.
At a significantly lower MSRP, mm-hmm. and for a lot less. It doesn't win, but it's in the fight against a 14 Ultra much better than I was expecting it to be. Like, if we looked at X90 Pro versus Xiaomi 13 Ultra, that is just, it's just a slaughter. There really isn't anything that the X90 Pro can take a win on. But now X100 Pro, a lot less expensive than the 14 Ultra, and it's closer. It's a lot closer than what I was expecting.
It's hard for me to even, like, it's such a, it's an easy recommendation for anybody that loves photography, that loves video, especially content creation with video on the Vivo. It just works, and it works beautifully. Every single time I know how to rely on it. The only other phone that I'll probably say that does very well as well is the Find X7 Ultra and the Find X7.
I was going to say Oppo. Yeah.
Oppo does the exact. So they know exactly how to run it. I've run full-on reviews. I've recorded, it's funny enough. So during my trip last year in Paris, when the 4K 60 frame update came into the Find X6 Pro, I got the Xiaomi 12S tablet, one of their tablets from last year. And I had him send it to me in Paris because I was already going to be there on vacation with the family, so on, before kind of going to honor. And I recorded that entire review using Rode mics with that connected straight into the Find X6 Pro USB-C. Audio was beautiful. Everything runs exactly as you'd expect it. And it was just seriously like some of the easiest solutions to just jump into. And you know exactly how the footage is going to look like. It makes it like when you know how to depend on something and you know it works well. I haven't had that much. I'll say this. I haven't actually connected a mic to the 14 Ultra. But I also say the same kind of that I actually haven't connected and tried to record a video with the 13 Ultra. The 13 Ultra has been, again, more B-roll camera for me and more like, you know, scenic shots, photos and stuff like that. So those are the ones I'd like to rely on. We do have video out on this, but I'm hoping that the quad mic array does better and also that the audio processing is done better, hopefully with this generation. I'll let you know, hopefully, if there's I haven't seen anybody test it in that manner. Most everybody I've seen videos have been on the Chinese model so far. And then we're starting to see now all the global editions starting to come out. And I think starting next week with whoever orders it, they'll have their versions and we'll have more experiences. Yeah. And I'm hoping an update as well, again, just to fix the writing on the band. I know it's 5G connected. And that only because I tested it and it locked into a 5G signal on the tower. So it's connecting. It just doesn't display it correctly.
Well, I'll be very anxious to see what you have to say about it. Looks like it's going to be pretty fun.
I hope so. But there was a few other devices also kind of like that, you know, sparked your interest this week. And
not really.
I don't
get why these have become like the talking point devices that they are. I really don't. I mean, I put them up in the
I took a sip from the water and it took me out of
focus. Your camera is freaking out and it's cracking me up.
In the name of... Okay.
So Juan is being cranky pants about some of this because like I'm looking at these just going, I don't get it. I really don't. I caught a flurry of like YouTube videos in like my subscription feed, like, oh my gosh, this is a new mid-ranger and it even does some things better than Samsung's more expensive phone. And you're like, so shouldn't that be telling us how unimpressive like an S24 is if an A55 is doing stuff that looks really cool? And I'm looking at the A55 going, but I guess I just don't get, like, what is it about a Galaxy A55 that would pull me away from a Pixel A or a OnePlus 12R? And I'm really not seeing it. I don't get, like,
is it more?
It's a Samsung A series, so I guess cool, but I don't know. I guess I don't get what's there. I don't understand why someone would spend more on an A55 than some of these other really competitive,
especially when you have so many options now than typically. Like in previous years, we've had the A series, and I know we're probably at the cusp of the brand new A series coming up very soon anyways. But the reality, the A series have always been very much it's a tailored experience, but still leveraging the powerhouse of the SoC, right? So we still get the best of Google's experience processing running on a more affordable device. The A series for me has been an interesting approach because it's typically been either Exynos, it's been throttled in certain aspects, so it's never really giving you the full potential of what you're able to do. Kind of looks like an S24, if you kind of tell me right now. Like if you didn't tell me that this was an A series, I would have said this is an S24. But the 32 in the front, probably 1080, 1250 and 5.
It's got the 5-megapixel macro. Again, yeah. I mean, like, that's technically better than the terrible macro that's on the OnePlus 12R.
The filler, but
So, again, and it's also in keeping with, like, Samsung's tradition of, like, it's 50 megapixels. What size is the sensor? Because that actually tells you more about the photography, and it's a 1 over 1.56, so it does kind of line up with an S24.
Yeah.
But we're talking about a phone. Hold on, let me see. Can I find... Unleash the octa-core power.
And it's running...
I hate marketing speak when they're focusing on like, oh, you can get it with 8 gigabytes of RAM and octa-core power. It's an Exynos that looks a lot like a Dimensity 8200 on paper. It's A78 cores with A55 cores on a slightly smaller process than a Snapdragon 865. This is yet another phone, yet another processor, yet another generation of devices that's floating us somewhere around the Snapdragon 865. We've been making phones for over 4 years now, all floating roughly around the performance of
it was a good
those,
year.
Those CPUs. It was a great year. A65, 870. They lasted forever, and you can still find plenty of devices. But again, that's like, it's still what's wigging me out is it's like you took the main camera sensor from a Galaxy S24. Mm-hmm. I doubt you're giving us all of the same capabilities as an S24.
Very much software, software capped.
Only thing I can point to on this that is not just frustrating as part of a product release is that this does have the ability to take a micro SD card. Of all the devices, and of all the reasons why you might want to add more storage to a phone, the A55 does have a micro SD card slot. Doesn't have a headphone jack, but they brought back the micro SD card slot.
Not that atrocity. Come on. SD cards. That's where it's cool. That's where it's at. Memory cards. It's the stuff that we... What is it?
But I'm so tired of this, like, empower your day with up to 2-day battery. And no, if you really use this phone, it'll be a good all-day phone. But It's like going back to iPods. Well, how many songs does it hold? Does it hold more songs? And you're like, it's got 16 gigabytes of storage. What quality do you store your music? Because that's going to determine how many songs. But it's like Samsung doing this time and time and time again. And I appreciate that they're trying to kind of blur the lines between an A series and an FE. It does look a little like that, like you're kind of borrowing a few nicer parts and a little bit of the design language. But this isn't.
They're trying to definitely confuse it to look like an FE or a standard S24.
Yeah.
24 plus because it's to their benefit. Right. It's a Galaxy to start. You're getting it to the point where it becomes more of a like it becomes homework for the buyer to figure out exactly what they want. And if they're not, and they're more of the hey, I just want to be able to get a new phone. I heard Samsung's good. Well, this is a Galaxy. It's it's one of the Galaxy devices. And so when you throw it in that manner, it makes it easy, like you said, marketing speak, to recommend it.
Did you see what JGJ just said? Has nobody seen the obvious Freudian slip Samsung has made with this model name? That fives kind of look like S's. It's the A55. Yeah.
I know.
That's pretty good, JGJ. I'll keep you around. You can stick around for that one. That was good.
There it goes. First the evening.
So Farhan is saying, I don't think it's on par with the Dimensity 8200. It's more on par with the Dimensity 7000 series. So I'm talking mostly about CPU performance. I genuinely don't know what this SoC does in terms of GPU. So I can't speak to that. And on that point, you might be right. Okay. But a Dimensity 8200 is a quartet of A78 cores and a quartet of A55 cores, and that's what this thing is running. So for CPU-bound tasks, we are once again in a performance envelope that should be slightly more power-efficient. I don't think... Because I want to say the 7000s were 2x6, not 4x4. So that I might have wrong.
Okay.
So a Dimensity 7200, I thought was two A78s to four performance cores. But let me correct myself while we're doing it live.
Because that's how we do it.
Because I want to make sure I'm not wrong.
Let's go to MediaTek's website.
I just need to know what the core count is. Yeah. So a Dimensity 7200 has two A715 cores and six A510s. So
it's more to the
that's
82.
A 2x6 kind of configuration. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you an A715 is more powerful than an A78, but I'd wager pretty good money that four A78s are going to outperform two A715s.
It's also going to come down to processing power, obviously, is one part of the equation. The other part is how it's managed and how it's governed. Samsung runs their auto mode for the most of the time, and it's clocked down anyway, so it's not really running at its full potential. It's one of those tough situations when they run their governors that way, and depending on how many more software stacks they're putting in there, things running in the background, the experience will be different. In my experience overall in the A-series are not as snappy as the S-series. For some reason, it's typically not just the amount of RAM, but it's also just the overall feel of the device. Like there's a little bit of a... additional processing time, kind of like I was added with the 80, what's called the Nothing 2A. Like I'll take an image, and if I jump into the preview, I have to wait a couple of seconds for it to show up. So you start seeing the big, I guess the heavy lifting where it's being done. The A Gen 3 obviously has a lot more horsepower than the A series. It's not going to be in the same ballpark, but I mean, it's not a bad deal for the price that it's coming in. I still just find it a little bit hard to say that would be a better buy than an HN2 on a 12R or running, a Tensor G2 on a 7A.
That's like saying for, I mean, again, we're having to do exchange rates and stuff like that, but let me actually, because this is an Indian launch so far. So it'll I just want to see, we'll it'll do
short enough,
yeah. An A55, 8 gig, 128, and I just want to see what that is in U.S. dollars. Sorry, I'm real good at doing this quickly, y'all. To USD is...
More than you thought?
I don't believe that can be correct. So do we have... Oh, that's because of trade-ins and stuff. 3999, and it did 3000. So I was like, there's no way it's $48. So now if I do
you get it free in the box of Cracker Jack, if you're lucky enough, you just have to open the box and look for it.
Just doing the exchange. Sorry, I copied it over, and then Google turned it from 39,000 to 3999.
Of course.
That's hilarious, because I didn't type that in. I copied and I pasted it, and it just took a 9 off of what I put in there. So it's not $48. It's $482.
Oh, man. It's neck and neck with the 7A then. It is absolutely. Yeah. And the 12R. Like it's exactly in the same bed at this point. Okay. I would venture to say no. I would definitely go for a 12R easy.
Yeah. Easy. Yeah, so for the same price, would you buy a phone today with a Snapdragon 865 as you would with a phone that has a Snapdragon 8 Gen 2?
No.
No!
I'll say this.
I don't get it!
There was a couple of years where I would have been like, totally. Give me an 870, an 865 plus, or an 865 over the 8 Gen 1 or the 888.
Sure.
Absolutely. The heat issue.
Absolutely.
But no, I think we finally, from an 8 Gen 1 Plus, 8 Plus Gen 1, sorry. From the 8 Plus Gen 1 on, when TSMC jumped on and we went over to their fabbing architecture, the 8 Gen 2 has been great. The 8 Gen 3 is better. They finally figured out that recipe, and it just works, and I'm happy about that. So no, between you and me, also, I wouldn't take that over a Tensor 2. Tensor 2 has a lot of heating issues, like if you're starting to push it. But again,
If you take a Tensor 2, like say you go with like a Pixel 7 Pro, because Michael Peppertech is saying you could get a renewed Pixel 7 Pro for less than that. Yep. You'd still be on a Samsung modem.
Yeah.
So the heating issues aren't going to be any better on an Exynos.
It is absolutely a better modem than the first Tensor 1 modem, but it is still one of the issues.
A Samsung modem. It's still the Exynos modem.
Steve Pogue is saying
that's very close to how much he spent for his 12R. And I just don't see how this is to recommend strong competition.
Yeah, it's especially because of the size of the display, the battery size, the charging capacity. We're talking about a 5,500 milliampere battery. Charging speed through the roof, large-ass display. Again, A55. All of those things going on. Had to land it. for a device to buy in this price range, if you're not trading in anything, it starts at $499. With any trade in, you drop the $100 off of that thing. Like, it's seriously, there's no, it's not a conversation. It's like an, it's such a jump straight into what you need again, but yeah. It depends on where these are available. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Michael Pepperdick mentioned, or I forgot, was it, one of the other gentlemen, put it, oh, Farhan put it in. I think he said the A54 is in the US. So the A55 yeah. is India. So the A54 is our variant of it, which I feel like is a slightly, again.
No, I think we'll see an A55 refresh.
The A55 5G, you think? Yeah.
Yeah.
At some point. Yeah, no, I don't doubt it, but it'll be in the store where the 12R probably be at Best Buy. I'm hoping it'll be at Best Buy. You know, as part of the OnePlus collaboration with Best Buy and so on, because those are the devices people would like to be able to check out, like see in themselves, take a few pictures at the store, see how well those cameras can generate images. And it's not that myth that goes around for some reason that Android phones are just trash and iPhones are just the de facto image processing, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It just kills me when, and I've had this family members too, like distant family members that I met. I had the Find X6 Pro with me, and my wife's cousin was like, that came from an Android? I said, yes, that comes from an Android. Android devices take great pictures, amazing pictures. They just look like trash when they come to you because of Apple. Because Apple doesn't let you process them correctly. It's like posting an image on Twitter and expecting it to look as good as it looks on your phone.
No, and it kills that's not
me. It. Yeah. Like that rose, dude. Seriously, that rose that I took a picture, I was at the, I put the polarizer on it and I was right. It was really bright day. So, and I jumped into portrait mode, just jumped in, got that light. It just, the lighting effect, it almost looks like I put a filter on it. It absolutely looks like it is a filter, but it's an ND filter. It's weird, isn't it? It's not a button filter. It's a real actual, it's the filter that, you know.
We got to actually like clarify the words we use now.
No, I know, because I say the word filter, but then I'm like, oh yeah, but I did actually put a filter. But I like these guys. Like, these guys are absolutely kings, man. You adjust it based on when you're on, outside. Like, I am so happy I took your recommendation, because I got the other options with the just, you know, the standard ND ones and stuff, but the circle polarizer.
The only thing that sucks about Xiaomi's layout is I wish I could use a diopter. So, like, if you get one of those, like, macro filter lenses, they fringe and vignette so badly out at the edges. That's where all your camera sensors are, so unfortunately you can't get a sharp shot out of there. But that's why I switched over to the plate, so that it has the individual screw mounts.
I like that. No, it's
You should try, and I'll see if I can track down, because it came as part of like another kit, and I didn't think I was going to use it that much, and now it has not left my 13 Ultra. So
yeah,
if it's the same, if it uses the same mount, then you can still get this, pop it right on, and be good to go.
As long as actually, hold on a second. Actually, I never really looked at it. Is the camera array similar setup? Oh yeah, absolutely.
Should be pretty close. Yeah,
they're in the same spot. No. It's exactly the same configuration. It's slightly bigger on the 13, on the 14, but it's, for the most part, they're in the same spots. It should.
Yeah, I mean 14 definitely brings some interesting feature improvements, but I don't think the hardware is fundamentally that different. So hopefully, that kind of stuff. I mean, again, that gives me more confidence in a manufacturer saying that, hey, we're creating something of a platform, or we're creating a system.
Yeah.
I don't expect it's going to stay that way forever, but it is kind of cool if, hey, you could move some of these accessories over and it gives you a little bit more confidence that what you're buying is really going to stick around for a while, is going to be supported for a while. So that it's a better strategy when the phone is already one of the most outlandishly expensive and sort of ostentatious camera packages on a phone today. You don't need to change a whole lot. It's not like Apple's going to catch you for another 2 years. I've been writing out a script, just like looking back at the Xiaomi 12S Ultra, and I think I'm going to wait until Pixel 9 comes out. And then I can say, hey, I've got a Xiaomi 12S Ultra. This is now going on to almost a three-year-old phone. It's still outperforming everything that we've got here in North America. with these sensors and stuff. So how precious are we really trying to make these claims? Like, oh, it's got such a better camera. And you're like, no, no, we're 3 years behind now. We are now 3 years behind the rest of the world.
It is. It's one of the sad things that we get to experience. We get a chance to play around with the hardware that is just not available here. And yep. It's hard to explain it other than showing them how it works. And I hope that opens up the opportunity for people to try to import some devices and just see how well they work. And I think that's the biggest thing for me, at least when I do the unboxings, I try to show people, like, if you're thinking about buying, and one of the first things you worry about is it going to work on my network here? Right. That's going to be like the number one thing, because I don't want to buy a phone just because it looks great and it does. So those little things that kind of just, you throw those in there. And although I think Barry did it very, very nicely earlier in one of the comments on the video, he's like, you know, yeah, it may not be the fastest 5G connectivity, but it's fast enough to do everything we need. And I'm like, yes, no, I don't need 1,000 megabits down just to prove that this is a fast mode. 90 to 100, we've lived at that for the longest time, and it is way more than what we need. There's no limitation here.
It doesn't feel like much of a compromise there.
No. I mean, for me, again, it runs T-Mobile band supported right out of the box. It's easy. I do want to say, though, that the 14 did connect slightly faster. And I feel like that's why I'm like, I want to get at least maybe an update or so. So I'm waiting for next week's update that comes in. I'm pretty sure there'll be one with day one. And as soon as that kind of hits, I feel like maybe we'll get a little bit more, a better connectivity, but I feel like the cameras are ready to start playing with and, you know, go out. I'm going to try to see if the Descanso Gardens are open this weekend, maybe go get some flower shots, because we're starting to hit that spring, right? The warm weather, the flowers are going to start blooming.
My sinuses are going to continue to create misery for me. It's going to be awesome.
Dude, my wife is in the same boat. Yeah, no, I came in today and she's like, I got allergies. I'm like, yes, I know. This is the bad weather. This is the weather. This is the weather.
Like us to point out that the Galaxy A55 is so underwhelming that you used this as yet another opportunity to talk about the Xiaomi 14 Ultra.
It's going to be that way for a while.
You could not stay on topic.
I'm going to segue.
That's how.
Well, no. Look.
I just want to recall how excited we were about the value proposition of the OnePlus 12R. Mm-hmm. How consistent we've been in talking about Pixel A series.
Yeah.
And even with something like bringing back a micro SD card slot on a Samsung, we could barely get through a portion of the conversation on the A55 before we were like, nah, you've got the Xiaomi 14 Ultra. I think we'd much rather just be talking about
it. It's a harder recommendation when you consider in the market that it's existing, there is already better competition and better options that have been out. Yeah. And the concern that I have is when you're relying so much on that parody of it's a galaxy. I get it. Don't get me wrong. The naming convention, and it makes perfect sense from a branding situation.
Yeah,
it's marketing. Yeah, absolutely. You brand everything the same, and it's hard to tell the line where this ends and this starts, like where the FE kind of, you know, I don't know how the FE makes to a certain point. But
that's also been like the big complaint, and I really feel like Samsung's strategy over the last couple of years has actually driven more people to Apple. Is you've got a whole bunch of reviewers who only talk about Galaxy Ultra, but consumers generally trying to shop for phones heard, this guy said that Samsung Galaxies were the best. They're the best Android phones. They're the standard bearers of Android. And they're the crown jewel of Androids. And then they go to a carrier store or to a cell phone store, and the phone they can afford is like an A24, but it's a Galaxy. And that reviewer said Samsung Galaxies were the best. This phone is garbage. Yeah, I guess I've tried the best Android. It's time for me to give like a 3-year-old iPhone a try now. Oh, and the 3-year-old iPhone, it just works. But that was a phone that 3 years ago would have been a $1,000 phone. So that is the frustration I have with this style of influencer conversation, mm-hmm. where Samsung is really turning the screws on influencers to only talk about these like top tier, and obviously there are tons of videos about A series. I'm not saying that people don't review A series.
Yeah, exactly.
But the overwhelming media representation of Samsung is Samsung Ultra, Galaxy Ultra, not, you know, Samsung putting a ton of marketing into the phones that already sell significantly more. 90% of Samsung sales over this year are going to be A series.
Oh yeah, no, the A.
But that's not what they talk about.
The A24s. It's what people go in. Like, I mean, the reality is, you're right. If you're going in there and you don't want to finance a device, this is the price point that you're looking at. I mean, this is where the Nothing 2A kind of makes sense to me. Like, it comes in at $350, right?
Yeah.
Like the 12R comes in at $499 or $399 with a simple payment. Yeah. The 7A is consistently on sale. And even when we do see the new version of it, it's not going to break the bank. It's the A series. It's intended to be in that range. And that's, again, where the bread and butter comes in. The 24 Ultras, I feel like they don't sell enough for them to even justify saying that, look, this makes sense. This is basically their flagship to make people think that they're buying those features, regardless of which category you jump into. To a certain point, yeah, maybe the launcher looks the same, maybe the icon set up a little bit, but there are substantial changes in there. Like, you don't get good luck with some of those options. You don't get the customizations you get because it'll typically slow the device so much because you need so much horsepower to kind of leverage the additional features. Good luck as modules and so on, if you think about them, really add more things to the background and sometimes may slow things down in the animation side because they're not designed specifically by Samsung. They're co-engineered by other companies or other individuals, and they're basically hosted and honored through Samsung to run on their launcher, like, you know, basically like sponsored custom themes. But it is definitely different. I will say, I'm trying to remember which one was it, the A series that had the flip back, the camera that flipped back and forth. Remember, like, it was a few years ago, 2019. Oh my God. Because I took it with
you
me.
You know
to
what?
Japan.
What I feel like was the best example of that was actually an Asus. Because there was a Zenfone that had that flip around camera.
Oh, the Zenfone, it was the original, it was a Zenfone 6 or 7. I think
since we're obviously not particularly interested in talking about the A55, the other big announcement that has in my circles, like on my Discord, and then with my circles of family and friends, my circles of friends that are actually into technology, has overwhelmingly been on the Zenfone 11 Ultra, and that this has not been getting
the love that it's supposed to.
A very positive response, and I can't say I really blame them. I am very underwhelmed with this. Oh, I was just going to pull up so that we could both.
Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, I clicked the wrong. Did you know that we have an option now to make it full screen?
I just wanted us on the side so that we could still like look at each other and I could still look into your eyes and talk to you. Zenfone 11 Ultra. Immediately, a number of folks in my Discord, and I've seen a bunch of folks out on social media, just really sad. The Zenfone was one of the last little nice phones on the market, and apparently now that's gone. If you want your fix, you can track back to a Zenfone 10 and get your smaller form factor phone fix. I guess either that or you just try and go with like a Xiaomi 14, which is smaller, but not quite as small as a Zenfone, or if you can handle something a little taller, maybe in your region you can score an Xperia 5. But yeah, this basically just looks like they took an ROG and made it a little less ROG-y. And I hate this camera sensor bulge. This thing just looks so ugly.
I do
not like it, Sam. I am.
You're right. The back does kind of look like I take that back. It kind of looks like the back of the Zephyrus laptops. This is trying.
No. I mean, so
the lines and stuff like that.
The lines in color absolutely are Zenfone.
Yeah.
But basically, what this looks like is they took an ROG and they probably just minimized some of the extra performance layers of cooling and stuff like that, and then just put this other back on it, and the camera module is just this lump that stuck out from the back of the housing, but the ROG is a little bit thicker, so it stuck out less on the ROG and it sticks out more here, and it doesn't, I'm not going to say, because I am not a cell phone engineer, so I don't know about the tolerances in designing camera housings for portable electronics, so I'm kind of talking out my rear a little bit here.
Okay.
But given the sensors that are on this thing, you won't need as much depth as like the mega camera sensor phones that we're playing with today. So if they even tell us in the tech specs,
14 Ultra, we're talking about this mega hump on the back. Yes, I'm with you.
I want to see. So main cameras, the IMX. Yeah, it's the Sony IMX 890. It's a 1/1.56 inch type sensor.
Yeah,
that's the same thing that's on an S24. Well, I mean, same sensor size. It's on an S24. This is like the same sensor that is on same sensor size that's on a OnePlus 12R. These are not. It's not necessary.
It doesn't need to be that thick.
Yeah, to make it such a lump, but I really feel it was just because they slimmed the back on the ROG and they're selling the same phone that the ROG is, but it's a little less ROG-y.
Yeah. Water resistance, it seems like, or some kind of ingress.
A is for aesthetics. Oh, that's what that is.
They're drawing an A on the back.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Oh, Asus.
It's getting easier.
That's not great.
The earth, blue, recycled materials, eco-friendly packaging.
Seize your moment.
50-32-13.
I get it. You do need a little bit of extra space. So they're saying it's got a gimbal stabilizer.
What
else had a gimbal stabilizer was the Vivo X70 Pro Plus. And even that large camera sensor didn't look like as significant a lump. So whatever they're doing for the depth of the housing and the hardware stabilization that needs to be able to float on six axis like that seems like it's really sitting on top of the frame of the phone. It's not into the frame of the phone.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't
way out above the actual. Yeah.
It's so pushing. Especially against like, say like a Nubia or, you know, like some of these other phones that have delivered starkly unique or distinctly different kinds of camera solutions. This to me is doing nothing. Like they're taking no risks.
Sorry.
They're not doing anything to kind of keep up with.
But so not that I want to play devil's advocate a little bit. So Zenfones haven't really, since the last Zenfone that we talked about with the flippy camera, the one that used the main sensor on the back and arbitrarily treated that as a front facing camera whenever you faced it forward, they've been kind of going a little bit low key when it comes down to their design. But I guess this one's a little bit polarizing because of the bump on the back, because it makes it look like you're getting a lot more. In reality, it's probably just like you said, the stabilization equipment that they have in there, the six axis and so on. It's a hard way to kind of approach it, because design wise is what most people get to the approach to first, right? They like the phone because of the way it looks first, then they get into the experience. So it's like step one, I need to like the phone, the way the phone looks. Step two is how it performs. It's that relationship that we form with devices, because you're seeing it on pictures, right? I mean, I haven't seen a Zen phone in a store for ages. So it's the chances of somebody running into one of these devices at like a Best Buy or something is very, very low. Maybe obviously at a Computex or like a convention, maybe for sure. But it's hard. Like Asus wasn't even at the MWC. I tried looking for them. They were doing some of the other things in there. I mean, I'll say this. I hope that it performs better than previous generations. If I'm not mistaken, it should be running the Agent 3. Is that correct?
It is. Yeah, it's running 8 Gen 3, 12 gigs of RAM, 256 gig of storage.
Headphone jack?
I'm trying to see.
I hope so.
Audio. Yeah, 32-bit for 3.5-millimeter output.
Yeah, so I mean, it's legit.
So that is nice. I don't see any mention of, like, it would be nice if
dedicated.
This also had a... Yeah.
The DAC, if they kept that from the ROG, right?
They're like, I don't see any mention of it. Just says high res, but that doesn't mean anything. But also, it would be nice if there was a memory card expansion on something like this too, because it only comes in a 256 flavor.
It's Full HD Plus, 140. Is it 120 or 144?
LTPO 1/120.
Oh, okay.
There is a max 144 hertz mode for gaming. 2500 nit peak brightness, which probably doesn't mean a whole lot. Like, I would imagine that they're probably testing similarly to like how OnePlus tests. Mm-hmm. If you take a small center cluster of white dots on an image, it can get up to this brightness. That's not the practical display output.
It's not sustainable for sure. It's never, the peak brightness is not sustainable. It's purely a peak. You can hit that for maybe a split second in a specific pixel you're set. But I mean, it looks promising. How fast is how big is the battery? Is that a storage?
Oh, I just
the battery was at the bottom. Should be about 5,000.
Battery 55.
Oh, hey, they're definitely borrowing from ROG on that one. ROG runs 6.
And they have their own flavor of not quick charge. They're calling it hypercharge. So they do have 65 watt charging, which is pretty cool.
Say it correctly, 65 watts.
Yeah, 65 white. And then they also do have a Qi 1.3, so up to 15 watt Qi charging. But the general sentiment has been, one, this is kind of just any other big phone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Asus isn't bringing anything to this conversation that we haven't had already, and we haven't had better on more established players in North America. And like, I'm looking at this kind of stuff going like, you know, this is an impossible fight against a OnePlus 12. Everything on the OnePlus 12 is better, and it starts at a, you know, again, it's technically starting at the same price, but you'd be able to get a lot. You'd be able to get a better trade in. You'd be able to find it on better sales, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. All of the cameras are demonstrably better than what's on this thing.
It's a better combination of camera sensors on the back. And I feel like the image processing also, I feel like, will probably be more on point. Just from at least the last couple of years of OnePlus updates. And the 12 series has been surprising.
Oh, and Michael Peppertech is, 65 watt charging, but you'll have to buy a U-Green or an Anchor Brick because they don't include a charger in the box. Whereas OnePlus, you've got that 80 watt charger ready to go when you buy the phone.
Trend. That trend.
The other part of this is like, there was a group, and I'm sure they weren't very large, which is why Asus is not making a little phone again, but Asus was the name for
smaller,
making a nicer, smaller
powerhouse
Android phone, powerhouse phone. And now that's gone. And so it's great. I'm watching YouTubers like, we're so upset that now you don't have this choice anymore. And boy, it sure was nicer when we had competition and stuff. And you're like, these are all exactly the people who were out there saying like, no, don't buy competition, just buy a Sam Apple. And you're like, it just rings so hollow that when we lose something, then everyone comes out of the woodwork to you know, just, I'm so upset that we lost this thing that people liked and this competition. And you're like, no, but you never believed in it and you never supported it and you never acknowledged it as a legitimate competitive point. You're like, doing a video on it to tell people they should just buy a Samsung instead is not acknowledging what makes an alternative option competitive. That's not this game. And so then I see people out here like, trying to, you know, but I'm just so sad. LG left the market. We'll never get another BlackBerry. Don't you remember when phones were wacky? Well, maybe celebrate the phones while they're here instead of waiting for them to vanish and then making a retrospective on how nice it was when we had fun competitive options and stuff
like
this.
The key to the man that was a good phone.
Yeah, I actually just put mine back on the shelf, but I was playing with it for a couple days. Someone on Threads was like, I just got a Qi 2, and I was like, I have a Qi 2 in red.
Red, yes. I know. I remember that. It was the last of a generation, sadly. But no, yeah, you're right. You need to celebrate what the tech is doing, when it's available, when people can actually enjoy it, when they can actually go out and get it. This is the thing about like what we're getting here and try to share with people the opinions of, or at least options of different things that you could do. Like on Monday, I put out a video on the Geekom, the A7, man, that is a powerhouse of a computer. But like, seriously, I was playing I've used a lot of mini PCs. I've used mini PCs, PC sticks, a lot of stuff. Between the two of us, we have an amazing history of devices that we've tested. that Ryzen 7940HS with that the Radeon 780G, oh my god, that is such a cool, like, that is such a good portable gaming freaking rig, dude. This is literally something I could take with me at a hotel, at an event, potentially maybe sometime next week when we're both going to be somewhere at some point. A little bit of a teaser. But yeah, like, it was a surprise. But like, those are the things that that get me excited. And you want to tell people about that. Like, if the ROG is going to give us that experience, champion it there. If OnePlus is giving us such a great deal with the 12R, again, I'm not going to try to make it sound like it's a great camera ensemble. It's definitely main camera centric. But again, for $399, you cannot beat that experience with an HN2. There's nobody touching it.
Yeah.
With all the features, when you figure the battery, the charging speed, the ecosystem, how fast and smooth Oxygen OS's version of Color OS. So it's hard. You have to champion it for when it is. And BlackBerry did great. Zenfones used to have a specific feel and flavor to them. And I feel like they were not selling a lot. And maybe they're feeling like they need to go to a bigger size. Like, more people want larger displays than what the Zenfone was offering. And now we're down to Xiaomi 14, that kind of championing it, but it's not available in the US.
Yeah.
Like, it's that tiny little powerhouse of a 14. You just, you know, great camera.
And so, you know, I guess, you know, the only thing that's worth buying, I guess you could get an iPhone 15. So that's true. You got a smaller phone. That's all there is. So you should just be happy you have that, at least, because it's just deflating. It just works. You know what would make these Asus phones better is if they just worked.
If they ran iOS.
The problem is they don't just work enough. If they just worked more, they would be worth it.
The fact that the Asus still, regardless of the fact that if it's on the Zenfone or on the ROG, they are still one of the very few alongside, I mean, actually, I'll say this. Sony actually is pretty much the only one now at this market that has a headphone jack, expandable storage, and a decent DAC built into it to give us the entire package. ROG may give you a great headphone jack. It may give you great stereo speakers and so on, but it lost the expandable storage. So that combo of multi-purpose tool, it still goes to Sony for me. It's like the maverick of all tools. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure the Xperia 1 Mark 6 is not going to disappoint in that. It'll have even more.
Yeah, it'd be good.
They've been on a streak of adding more stuff. They have not taken things out. They've kept adding more stuff. Who knows? You know, I'm seeing a lot of rumors on it, but Zenfone for me, it's a tougher sale. And not only that, I think it's available now for us in the US, right?
I mean, they've got a big buy link, but I don't know if they're shipping. So let me
typically see. We're the last market to get it.
Like we've seen some of these photos out for a while, but I can add it to cart. Oh, estimated ship date is April 3rd.
Okay, it's not that bad.
This is technically the United States pre-order time. But I saw the photos coming out from international publications, just going like, I don't see it. And then we finally got the full announcement here. All of the specs confirmed, pricing confirmed, $899. And I don't see it. I don't see it with the A55. I don't see it with the 11 Ultra. And I want to be the guy who's saying things like support competition, but that's not what these are. This feels like such a reactionary, like, we're just acquiescing to what seems to be popular for some of our competitors, not an Asus that's really trying to drive a unique conversation about what they think mobile should be and advertising to that. Cause I don't know. They spend a lot of money marketing their laptops and their graphics cards and their computer components. And like, they're in those conversations. They're regularly hosting that kind of stuff. But even when I was doing PC builds with some of their product specialists, like on camera, answering questions to the audience, like we were in that, I would then reach out and their phone division would be like, no, we're just not really going to talk about that kind of, it's not really, you know, what we're going to do. Like, then why make the phone?
It's not a focus. You could sense like it's then more.
Save the environment and just don't make it if you're not going to tell anyone. that you've made a thing that they might want to consider buying.
I wonder how their sales and performance has been internationally. I mean, maybe not in the US, but like internationally, like do they sell enough that they keep making the series? And because they had to have pulled the data from somewhere to figure out that they needed to go bigger on the size. Yeah. So either it's based on sales, based on feedback, based on, you know, consumer opinion.
This to me feels a lot like the LG move. If we recycle more parts from one line to another and we standardize on that, that's where you get V60 and LG Velvet. The V60, the display in the V60 was used for the dual display case, the V60, the Velvet, and the Velvet's dual display case. It's the same 1080p panel.
Yeah.
So that's why we didn't get a big phone and a little phone. We got a big phone and a skinnier phone.
Yeah,
but it was still a really big phone, and so I'm looking at this going like, hey, they're just recycling as much as they can from ROG, and that means to me, this time next year, I bet you one of those phones is going away. I bet you why bother pretending that we're tooling up different manufacturing? They're different products for different consumers. Just make one. And just sell that as the phone, or they end up walking away from mobile the way that LG did.
I can already see the headlines, the loss of, you know, but it, you know, we'll have to see. We'll have to see how the appeal on this one is. It just got, so as you said to yourself, it's in pre-orders right now. Sales are going to start early April.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how that works. And I'm going to try to dig it a little bit more and see about their international sales and how their performance are on, at least on Zen phones. Because they used to actually release two Zen phones for the longest time. They used to be a standard and a pro. Then they cycled that down to a standard, and then now we're obviously going back to an ultra, circumventing the pro.
Oh, they used to have like a whole lineup. I mean, they even used to have an experimental camera. Do you remember they had the Intel powered Zen phone Zoom? Why do you remember that beast? Hold on, I'm still on the stream, but it's over here on my bookshelf somewhere.
We're gonna focus on Starstream in the background, or the little doggy.
Ha ha! So the cool thing about having the phone museum that I do is that it's actually pretty quick getting to stuff. So this is the ASUS ZenFone Zoom, which had
an Intel
actual zooming optics. Mm-hmm. Boy howdy, is the periscope lens assembly in this terrible? It's really not good. But this was also powered by an Intel chipset. So it actually, I won't be able to get it to focus, and then...
Oh, there you are.
Okay, so right down here, you can see it's got the little Intel Inside logo embossed into the faux leather, vegan leather on the back of this thing. And it's a big chunky boy, and it was really thick for its time with this big Oreo disc. But the reason why the lens is mounted so high in the circular module is because all of the lens elements... Stack vertically. And you need that periscope to kind of move things around. ASUS used to do a whole bunch. Yep. And that was outside of ROG. This predates ROG. And little by little, they keep scaling it back and scaling it back and scaling it back. And when I see 11 Ultra, it doesn't make any sense to me. You have an ROG that is already occupying most of what this thing is. Just focus on that. Just advertise that. Just sell that. And they've already watered down ROG. ROG is not as aggressive this year as it was last year.
The displays on the back, it's definitely a much more, no pun intended, it kind of feels like a Zen phone a little bit more than a...
It does!
Than an ROG. It's like a weird... And, like, I saw it
looking at the ZenFone Ultra, I think we can guess why.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Look, we're getting to, we've had many years of iterative designs that are minimal, slight changes, maybe a couple of, you know, little shimmer here, a little, you know, optical, whatever. The reality of the matter is, you know, they're all glowing rectangles, you know, to name the old, you know, the passing of a great subreddit, but the biggest thing about them is the reality is it's starting to become more software based. The designs are not like there's a few phones that I'll say that absolutely look fantastic. I'll say that, you know, I'm not going to try to, the 14 Ultra has a very unique and it has an eye captivating look. Like when you look at it,
yeah,
that bump makes you think of like, why does it have such a big bump for the cameras? Because that essentially is the reason for it. It's great cameras.
Yeah.
You look for the,
I still tried out like the Vivo and the 13 Ultra and people are like, what is that?
Yeah. Like what and is going on the back of your phone, man? It's called, this is a camera first phone, not a phone that happens to have a camera. And then, you know, but if you take that out, then you start looking at some of the other designs that we see on the market. They're very subdued. They're very, typically it's just a colorway. It's again, that excitement of what you're talking there with the zoom, that excitement with what the key used to be, the key two used to be. We lost that level of innovation because I think that was the time where people were, companies were trying to experiment to figure out what was the right form factor. And then everybody de facto fell onto that rectangle form. And that's exactly what we have. We need, the innovation has to come in a different form factor and a different way of using it. Foldables are somewhat getting us to a certain point. Like, I mean, again, open for me is still like hands down one of my favorite foldables to date. Let me bring it over here. Of course not, that's not going to focus. You know, it's still one of my favorite devices overall. We just got ColorOS 14. I don't know if you updated yours. It came in early this week and I was like, yes, finally, because we talked about it last week, right?
While we've been talking, my Pixel finally rebooted.
You finally
got it. I would love to make videos about Pixel updates, but no Pixel I've ever been sent from Team Pixel, and I'm grateful to be on Team Pixel and I appreciate their support and being able to join these conversations, but I get the updates so late, there's no point. Hey guys, like, I got the new Android 14 update too, guys. You've been playing with it for 2 weeks, but I got mine now. And I want to be able to use these in ways that I feel people would really live out of them. So I'm not, I can't wipe them every single time
just
to like flash or to try and like update and stuff. And you're like, yeah, that's not a thing. So unfortunately, like, I don't know, maybe I'll write up some kind of follow up experience on the Patreon or something, but like, me putting out a video on it now is like, what's the point? There's
oh yeah, no point. The update's been covered for weeks. It's like, it's a tough, to me, it's a little bit hard. So I'm not living out of my Pixel right now. So it's hard for me to kind of catch it. And when I saw the update on Monday on the open, I was like, yes, finally we got it. Like I was waiting for that. Although still only four icons on the bottom. I understand why, but I wished it would have been something changed there. But again, at least the update didn't have any problems, no issues with the phone, no connectivity problems. We finally have smoothed out the process of going Android version to Android version and not as many hiccups like we used to have from like 10 to 11, the big hoopla that we had to go through there. But yeah, no, I mean, updates are coming in. Actually, my Find X7 Ultra did get also an update as well. Actually, our Vivo got an update three or 4 days ago. Yeah.
That's some solid stuff.
Yeah, I know. I was like, it's exciting. They're really taking care of them. And again, for me, more so with the Vivo, because by the time I got the X70 Pro Plus from you, I know that it was more on the end part of getting their support side. So I wasn't getting a lot of updates. The X90 did get as much, but I felt like the X90 Pro Plus in the Qualcomm version in China got more love than the international global MediaTek 9200. But this year, the 9300 is getting a lot of support. We had quite a lot of
attention, yeah.
Which I like their focus. It's
been really nice.
Yeah, no, for sure. But yeah, no, this week has been very, very much a kind of a hit and go kind of thing for me a little bit. Surprising on Monday, I had originally planned to post a video on the, what's it called? The Xiaomi Watch S3 on this morning. But that of course got circumvented by the Xiaomi 14 Ultra. So for me, at least for this week, I have one more video going up. It's already it's ready. It's good. It's going to probably go up on Saturday morning for a nice little watch over the weekend for their Watch S3, the new interchangeable watch from Xiaomi. Not the S2. That one, I think, is the Wear OS. The S3, which is the RTOS / HyperOS version of the watch. So that, yeah, it's kind of, for me, kind of circling and finishing off the week. But what's going on your end?
I put out an editorial just kind of looking back on some fun hardware. There have been all these stories recently about like influencers and younger, like Gen Z on social media, they're starting to turn to like old point and shoot cameras, like finding an old power shot or an old cyber shot in their parents' like garage. And I was cleaning out just some of this like old storage in the bookcase, and I ran across my Galaxy Samsung camera.
Yeah.
So this is indicative. This is sort of representative of what was the like nicer middle range point and shoot experience from like 2008 to 2012.
Okay.
I get into so many conversations where I point out things to people like, hey, if you're playing with a modern phone, you're dealing with image sensors that are dramatically better than you think they are. Oh, but the big problem is you can't get a good lens and you need the bigger lens. And so even an old point and shoot has a better lens than what's on your, the little lenses on your phones. They're not very good lenses. So in dealing with part of this, I'm trying to split in this editorial, I split the difference between the baseless claims of photography enthusiasts who don't know what they're talking about on modern day camera phones. And then also trying to address like, what is it about an older point and shoot camera, the more deliberate standalone unique piece of hardware that is drawing someone younger away from a phone camera? Cause there's a lot of differences in how these things process an image versus what our phones do today. So I put the Vivo, where is my Vivo? I put the Vivo X100 Pro up against the my Galaxy camera. And this would have been, again, like a PowerShot SX200 series. It would have been like a Nikon Coolpix. It would have been like a Sony CyberShot. And let me tell you, on like a hardware level, it is not close. Our phones are so dramatically more capable. The telephoto sensor, 100 millimeter equivalent telephoto sensor on the Vivo X100 Pro is larger than the sensor on this Samsung Galaxy camera. Now, the Samsung Galaxy camera has a 21 times optical zoom.
Oh, wow.
But it starts its zoom range at an equivalent that mirrors the main camera sensor, and on the Vivo, I have the ultra wide, so I can go wider in my field of view.
So their zoom
than the Galaxy camera. They start at 23 millimeter equivalent.
Sorry, yeah, 23, and then I think the ultra wide is like what, 12 or 15.
And at the 23 millimeter equivalents, you have a 1-inch type sensor on the Vivo. Now, this has an f2.8 aperture wide open.
Okay.
But the Vivo has an f1.75 aperture wide open. Oh, but you don't get to use the 1-inch type sensor on the telephoto. So that's probably where this is going to win. But at 100 millimeters, which is about 4x zoom.
Okay.
It's like 4.4.
Yeah.
Time zoom on the Galaxy camera. The Galaxy camera is stopped down to f4.5.
Oh, wow.
Where the 100 millimeter equivalent sensor on the Vivo is f2.5 and has a bigger sensor. So that means it's actually, it's a bigger ratio and it's a bigger focal length to start the ratio. So anyway, I put all of that in there, just the kind of back and forth. And of course, someone was like, oh, but what you really need to do is compare it against like a smaller mirrorless sensor, not one of those point and shoots. And you're like, cool, yeah, I get it. Except like, does this fit in your pocket? You know, the main thing we're talking about, one of the reasons why you carry a point and shoot camera around with you is that it's discreet. It's
small. Exactly.
And you point it and you shoot.
Like the so RX if you go with like series from Sony were perfect for those. They're small, they're portable, they're pocketable. They're not exactly the thinnest, but it was you carried them. It was a small portable camera that took great pictures and decent videos at 5-minute intervals.
And now your phone is competing in ways that are pretty dramatic. So anyway, that was an editorial that got published. I will probably publish that public at some point. It's just whenever I write something, I kind of like to let it live on the Patreon a little bit longer. And then just this afternoon, I finally published the Vivo X100 Pro deep dive.
I saw.
So there's a 34 minute video going through just what my experiences have been on the Vivo and how it's kind of taken over as my B-roll camera. Most of the footage I've shot, both in the office and then outside B-roll, I'm not even picking up my Panasonics anymore to shoot inside when I can quickly like throw the Vivo on a tripod, knock out a couple shots, wirelessly upload it to my NAS, edit directly off of my NAS, and I'm done. It's been pretty remarkable. So there are still some things that I think are really sticky about Vivo's presentation and some stuff that I wish they would address. But there's a 34 minute video of how I've been using it as a production camera, not just, you just get the gooder HDRs. So I did a side by side with a Galaxy and you can see like side by side, they're very similar. No, they're not. It is really, when you drive this camera harder, when you really put it into some challenging situations and some challenging production work, it's really not close. Vivo and Xiaomi are, and Oppo. Vivo, Xiaomi, and Oppo are a tier above.
Absolutely.
And they're widening their gap. The competition is not closing in on them at all. It's not close.
It's been. The only thing I'll probably say is I really hope at some point during the year the Find X7 Ultra makes it somehow to the international market, because it is, I mean, in the Asian market in China, I'm pretty sure there's already a lot of competition going on between them. Very compelling devices, very specific use cases for each one of them that they excel very well. Vivo for me has been like the A7 video that I put a lot of my B-roll was shot with that. A lot of my B-roll on with the S3 was also shot on that. It's such a versatile camera that I have enjoyed using it quite a bit. The Find X7 Ultra works absolutely fantastic. I to a certain point, I kind of still miss the Find X6 Pro, but I feel like a few more updates on the 7 Ultra will get that experience back exactly the way it was, where I relied on it very naturally, and I knew exactly how things were going to come out. And then now getting a chance to play with this guy, the 14 Ultra is going to be such an experience. And I'm enjoying the fact that there's not a lot of, I mean, we talked about a couple of phones coming out, but there's not like a lot of launches going on right now. I feel like March is what used to be our January.
Time to catch up.
A little bit of breather. So yeah, for me, I just want to put out the Watch S3 probably Saturday morning, finish off the week, and start focusing on the Xiaomi and just trying to kind of spend some time with it. You got to live with these devices. Getting the phone, playing with it for a couple of days, like this type of phone, it's a hard thing to be able to make a judgment in a couple of days, because there's just so many nuances, so many modes, so many options. And I want to be able to use the camera kit to its full extent. That's something I didn't get a chance to do that much with the first, with the 13 Ultra, because when we got our 13 Ultras, we didn't have the camera option or wasn't really available. There was a back order. And if you remember, it took us like a month and a half.
It took a long time to
get the camera kit. And, GetStop at least delivered, but it was just took forever. So yeah, no, trying to keep it light and kind of focus and trying to clear up some of the backlog. Next week, probably I have a video on the Rayneo X2 glasses. Finally got the experience settled on that. So a few software updates and so on. So we kind of got it to where it needs to be. And I got a Lenovo laptop, a foldable laptop option that I need to also kind of finish up on. My time with that is coming to an end. So yeah, pretty much just finishing up backlog and then catching up on some cool tech and again, spending more time with some really fun devices. And hopefully, like I said, this weekend will be good weather and not very windy, because a lot of wind doesn't look great with photos, especially when you go into a botanical garden. They don't look that good. But yeah. But yeah, with that being said, guys, I know this actually kind of is going to be more closer to what we were expecting, about an hour and a half worth of show. And of course, as usual, make sure to catch Juan on Monday with the SCG QA on the channel. Again, catching up with all the weekly recaps, the news, and all the conversations going on to the following week. I'm going to keep it as a little bit of a secret, but you may see us somewhere else next week. I'm not 100% sure. You will have to see.
No way to know, really. You'll just have to tune in.
I was going to say, until you have to tune in with us next week, we'll get a chance to talk to you guys a little bit more. But be safe, everybody. I hope you guys have a great evening. Enjoy your Thursday evening. And hopefully we'll have a lot more cool stuff to talk about next week. Take care, everybody.